beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. The silence, the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. Come on, sing it again. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
I just want to share with us just some things to remind us of the importance of Easter. Many years ago, a friend of mine was attending a seminary, and we know that there are different types of seminaries. Some are not so good, and then you have some that are in between. But this particular seminary, one of his professors made this comment that if they discovered the body of Jesus Christ, if it could be shown that Jesus was not raised from the dead, it would not affect his faith. And as my friend shared that with me, I thought, that is not consistent with what the Bible teaches. And so I've reflected on that over the years. What is the importance of the resurrection of Christ? what is the importance of Easter? And so I want to share some thoughts with us this morning, just to encourage us on this Easter Sunday. That first of all, without Easter, we would still be in our sins. And so I've listed in the notes which I've sent to some of you, first of all, looking at the issue of sin, that Easter says to us that the issue of sin has been resolved and that sin impacted us in many different ways. And when the apostles write and they present different pictures of how sin affected us, different models, I'm going to read for us from Romans chapter 3 from verse 19. And this is what Paul says to the Romans. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we became conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so that to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded because of what? Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For I maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. And what Paul does here, he describes different ways in which the resurrection of Christ has dealt with our sins. That sin, according to what they call a judicial model, the model with which we are most familiar with here in the West, because especially here in the US, where the judiciary is one of our branches of government, basically it says that God has established his law. God brought his law into existence, and we've all broken God's law. We've tried, people have tried from the very get-go, but could not fulfill God's law. And all the law did was to make us aware of our sin, make us aware of the fact that we're not lining up with what God requires. But the law didn't have any ability to help us to fulfill God's requirement. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ, through his death, has paid the penalty for our sins. Through his death, he who knew no sin became sin for us. And through his death, we now can stand righteous before God. We now can stand justified before God. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is evidence to all of us that our sins have been taken upon by Christ, and now we can stand justified. Now Jesus can say, I've paid the price for the sins. Now we stand as if we didn't sin in God's eyes. And so through the judicial model, you and I can now come with a free conscience before God, because our sins have been paid for by the death of Christ. Another model that Paul talks about in Romans is the participation model, where sin is a cosmic force that keeps us in slavery. He says we were held captive by sin. Sin and its relative death, the law of sin and death, held us captive, and we could not help but sin. He says in Romans 6 and verse 17, well, Romans 6 and verse 16, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. And so Paul says that Jesus, through his resurrection, set us free from being slaves to sin, so that you and I, we can all now become slaves to righteousness. Now we can choose what we want to do, who we want to obey, while before we couldn't help it. It was just part of our way of functioning. But the death of Jesus Christ indicates that we are no longer controlled by sin. In fact, we now have a new nature where we want to do the right thing. And so we now have chosen to become slaves of righteousness. A third picture that Paul paints is a picture of a marriage. He says it in Romans chapter 7. He says that the law was like a bad husband, an abusive husband, a husband who only, our spouse, let's put it that way, who only points out the wrong you do. And those of us who are married can appreciate what Paul is saying. If you live with someone who only finds fault, but never comes to help you, it can be very, very discouraging. And that's what the law did. The law was like that abusive husband who only pointed out our faults, but didn't do anything to help us. So it says in Romans 7 verse 2, for example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law that binds her. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she's called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, then she's released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another. So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. And so through the death of Jesus Christ, we have died to the law, and now we have been raised with him so that we can now have a new relationship. We can now have a new spouse who is Christ himself, who not only points out what's wrong, but comes alongside us by his Spirit to help us to fulfill God's law. So we have been set free from this abusive relationship that the law had us under. And now we are free to serve God as God wants us to be free. Several other models. The sacrificial model, where Christ became an atonement. That over the years in the Old Testament, the sacrificial killing of animals only covered sin but never removed it. But Jesus Christ, through his death, completely removed sin from all of us. So again, we can enter into God's presence because the price has been paid. Another picture is that of death and new birth. Paul talks about this in Corinthians, that through Christ we have died and now we can be born again. We have been given a new nature. And so it says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The baptism that people undergo, water baptism, is a symbolic representation of this, that our old person has been crucified and buried with Christ, and now we, when we come up out of the water, we come up as new beings. We come up being a new creature, new desires. Everything is new. The old has passed away. And now we live by the Spirit who lives inside of us. Many other pictures of redemption. We mentioned this at Bible study Wednesday night, that redemption means that we were held captive. We were held captive by sin. We were held captive by our old nature. We were held captive by the devil himself. But Jesus Christ, through his death, paid the price so we can be free. He redeemed us. He set us free. That's why we can sing and we can shout that we are free, because he has set us free. And through that freedom, he has also reconciled us to the Father. We were separated from him, but now we are reconciled to the Father. Other pictures of adoption, that now we are born again into God's family. Some of the things I want to share with us as we reflect upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning is the defeat of satanic powers. That the resurrection of Christ is not just a symbolic thing, but literally Jesus Christ went to the cross and went into the tomb and went down into Hades and completely defeated the enemy, took away from him the keys of death and hell. It says in Colossians that our sins, that all the charges against us were on that cross, but Christ took all of those things, and he openly showed in the spiritual dimension that he defeated Satan so that you and me, we can walk in freedom from satanic control, freedom from satanic powers. In fact, no, the devil is the one who's afraid of us, and we are not the ones who are afraid of the devil. Up until the death of Christ, Satan was called the prince of this world. That's what John calls him in John's gospel, the prince of this world. But Jesus says that through his death, the prince of this world will be judged. The prince of this world will be cast down. The devil was the main one, the main instigator in the crucifixion of Christ. From the get-go, at his birth, he was trying to destroy him when he killed the, when he led Herod to kill all of the boys under age 2. And when that failed, he came and he inspired Judas, gave him the thoughts. And according to the gospel writers, he eventually entered into Judas and led him away to betray Christ. He thought that in doing this, that he would be able to defeat the plan of God. And he didn't realize that what God the Father was doing was allowing the devil to have his own way so that God's ultimate plan would come to pass. And so when Christ was put to death, that was not the end. That was really just the beginning of the other dimension to God's plan and God's purposes. And so Satan was completely defeated by the sinless Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Jesus has conquered hell, death, and the grave so that you and I can also live in that victory. Jesus has the keys of death and Hades. That's how he reveals himself to John in the book of Revelation, that he has the keys of death and hell so that you and me, we don't have to be afraid of death. That's why Paul could write in 1 Corinthians 15, death, where's your sting? Because the sting of death really is sin, is the law. But that sting has been removed from the mouth of death so that we are no longer held in bondage to death. In fact, we can look forward to death because death is promotion for us. Death is absent from the body, present with the Lord. Death is we moving from this world of the natural things into God's presence. And so for us, death is really something we can look forward to, something that we can embrace, not something that we have to run away from and be afraid of. As I think Sean was sharing last week, that even with this pandemic, we as Christians don't have to walk around afraid of death. Not that we are going to be unwise, not that we, you know, but the reality is that no matter what, if we live, we belong to the Lord. If we die, we belong to the Lord. So no matter what, we are in a win-win situation because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Easter says to me, that I am a winner. I am on the winning side no matter what happens because Jesus Christ has already conquered hell, death, and the grave. And more than that, Jesus, after his resurrection, when he came back to his disciples, he says that all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. So Christ has all authority. According to Ephesians, he has been exalted above every name that can be named. And he's seated in a place of authority, far above every name that can be named, both in this age and in age to come. And so through his resurrection, he has been exalted. And the beautiful thing about that, which I like what Paul says in Ephesians 2, is that we as Christians now are also seated with Christ and in Christ in heavenly places. So we are now in that place of victory. We are now in that place of authority over the works of darkness. So not only have we been set free, but now we have been placed in the place of authority, which means you and I, we can set others free. You and I, when we open our mouths and declare the will of God, the enemy has to flee. There's no debate, there's no discussion, because we have been put in that place of authority because of what Christ has done and because of our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we are now victorious. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, but thanks be to God, he gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory has been handed down to us. And that's why all we have to do is to receive it and live in it, draw close to our Father and live in the victory that he has given unto us. That's why Paul can say in Corinthians that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Because where the Spirit of God is, all the bondages of the enemy are broken off of us. And we are brought into new liberty in the Lord. Just a couple more things I want to share with us. That because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have hope. Paul says, if If there's no resurrection from the dead, this is in 1 Corinthians 15, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, he says, then the apostles would have been found to be liars because they were testifying and preaching that Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then we are still in our sin. But Paul goes on to say, but indeed, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection. In other words, as evidence, as proof that there will be another resurrection where all of us who believe in the Lord will be raised, our bodies will be raised from the grave if we die before the Lord returns. And so the resurrection of Christ becomes tangible evidence that our sins have been forgiven, tangible evidence that there will be a future resurrection, tangible evidence that there's more to life than this world. Paul says, if we have hope in this life only, we have all people most miserable and to be pitied. But the reality is that the resurrection of Christ points to that there's much more in store for all of us. That's why Paul could finish 1 Corinthians 15 by saying that there's coming a day in the last trumpet is sung when in the twinkling of an eye we shall be changed and this perishable body will put on imperishable. And this body which is subject to pain and suffering will become an immortal body. And all of this is because of what Jesus Christ has done for us by his resurrection from the dead. So there is evidence through the life of Christ, through his resurrection, that there's more to come. And it also is proof that there will be a future judgment. Otherwise, Christ would have suffered in vain. All of us just living and doing our own thing, saying God is such a God of love, then how is he going to send some people to hell? Well, because Christ suffered and died and rose again from the dead. He is the only way to the Father. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And so his resurrection becomes proof of that, proof of all that he taught, that indeed there's no other way to be saved but through the name of Christ. And then the final thing I share is that the resurrection of Christ again points to the fact that he has been exalted to the right hand of the Father. Paul says this in Philippians, that there's coming a day where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, because God has exalted him to that place. So one day, everyone will have to acknowledge who Christ is. One day, he's coming back again for his church. One day, his kingdom will be established in the earth. All that he taught, we can assume and believe is true because of his resurrection. Because he confirmed what he said to his disciples, that he's going to be raised again on the third day, and he did that. That which Sean shared earlier is impossible. And so his resurrection has made all the difference. If there's no resurrection, all of this stuff is just a fairy tale. But the truth is, there is and has been a resurrection of Jesus Christ. And therefore, he deserves all worship. He deserves the right and authority. In the book of Revelation, it reveals that because he was the lamb that was slain, he now rules and reigns as that lamb of God. He's worshipped beside the Father as a lamb of God. He deserves worship. He deserves honor. And because he's that lamb of God, he's coming back. And every knee shall bow. And everyone will submit to his lordship. Thank God for us, we do so now freely and willingly. But everyone, sinner and saint, will have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I just wanted to share a song with us. Let me share my screen. times, the angel said to the apostles that this same Jesus who we see going up shall return. That's part of our hope, that the Lord shall return. He said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. This thing is a fact. It's already established in God's timetable. And you and I are just experiencing now the victory that Christ has for us. But there's much, 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 much more to come. Amen. Any thoughts or comments?